Special speaker with us, his guest Sarvadrik Prabhu. Hi God. So we are having this fortune of receiving Sarvadrik Prabhu in this temple for the first time. His guest Sarvadrik Prabhu is disciple of Srila Prabhupada and he joined ISKCON in 1973. that for the last 41 years he has been serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. So we are extremely fortunate to have his association today. Sardik Prabhu, now presently he is serving in Sri Prabhupada village. That's a farm community spread over the land of 7 acres, and there are 14 families of devotees stay there. You know, it's a very big, beautiful farm community. And the Prabhuji is pioneer in having wonderful services in this mission, especially in the field of Bhakti Bhiksha preaching, prison preaching, Tulsi Seva, and it regularly worships Shaligram, Shilaji. And it travels basically in the 3 cities, Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. So, basically he is preaching in North Carolina, America. So, today we are having with his wonderful association. I request all the devotees, please switch off their mobile phones or put it on the silent mode. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Those are the 3 states, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Yeah, 3 states. I go to Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, Andhra Pradesh. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. We're reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Text 3. Vritya Lakshana Jigyasu Bhaktam Kamesha Chodayat Bhavan Sansara Bijeshu Hridaya Granthishu Prabhu. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has given considerable discussion about Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha devotees. Nitya Siddha devotees come from Vaikuntha to this material world to teach, by their personal example, how to become a devotee. The living entities in this material world can take lessons from such nitya-siddha devotees and thus become inclined to return home back to Godhead. A nitya-siddha devotee comes from Vaikuntha upon the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and shows by his example how to become a pure devotee, anyabhilashita shunyam. In spite of coming to this material world, the nitya-siddha devotee is never attracted by the allurements of material enjoyment. A perfect example is Prahlad Maharaj, who is a nitya-siddha, a Mahabhagavat devotee. Although Prahlad was born in the family of Hiranyakashipu, an atheist, he was never attached to any kind of materialistic enjoyment. Desiring to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee, the Lord tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to take material benedictions, but Prahlad Maharaj did not accept them. On the contrary, by his personal example, he showed the symptoms of a pure devotee. In other words, the Lord himself has no desire to send his pure devotee to this material world, nor does the devotee have any material purpose in coming. When the Lord himself appears as an incarnation within this material world, he is not allured by the material atmosphere, and he has nothing to do with material activities. Yet by his example, he teaches the common man how to become a devotee. Similarly, a devotee who comes here in accordance with the order of the Supreme Lord shows by his personal behavior how to become a pure devotee. A pure devotee, therefore, is a practical example for all living entities, including Lord Brahma. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Viditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatani Nama Shishtamanum Api Sachi Putra Matra Surupam Rupam Tasyagajamurupari Matirim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Mahuradhika Madhavasam Prapta Yasapatita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tandatosmi Vande Nanda Adbhutashrayam Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nichoki Yat Prasadat Sat Bhakti Shastra Pravartaka Nityananda Maham Novi Sarvananda Karamparam Harinama Padam Devam Bhagadurta Shiromani Vancha Kaupatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Kevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. First thing I wanted to say was that watching all of you dance in ecstasy, chanting Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada is showering his blessings on all of you. He wanted this so much. In fact, he tried to start the International Society for Krishna Consciousness here in India, in Jhansi. You know this history. He tried to start here. He said he would approach one family of four sons. Give me one son, I'll train him to become a Brahmin, to spread Krishna consciousness. And of course everyone thought, no, I want him to do business, he'll take care of us in our old age like this. So it wasn't Lord's will that Krishna consciousness would spread beginning from India. Of course it came from India because Srila Prabhupada came here. This is Bharatvarsha, Tapa Bhumi, Rishi Bhumi, Punya Bhumi. This is the place where the whole world, from which the whole world can be benefited. There's no doubt. Because if we trace back where any benefit from human society comes from, it comes from India. Not from South America, certainly not from North America, not from Australia, from the rest of Asia, even China. It comes from India. Architecture, philosophy, medicine, science, astrology, astronomy, all of these things come from India. And that is why today there's a concentrated, well thought out plan to destroy Indian culture. And I personally see that wherever I go in India. You go through the airport and there's big stands. What, of Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavatam? No, liquor and cigarettes. And meat shops and wine shops everywhere. India is also today the largest exporter of beef in the world. There's lots of work to do. So this, if you want to destroy a tree, what do you do to it? You can take a branch off, but it will grow back. You can take some leaves off, and they'll also grow back. But if you want to destroy the tree, you cut the root, then the whole tree withers and dies. And this is the objective of material civilization, to cut the root of all human happiness, of all human prosperity, of all human knowledge, of all God consciousness, to cut it at the root by destroying Indian culture. And this is a fact. You see it anywhere, everywhere you go, not just in America. America is exporting demoniac Western culture all over the world. How? Through these dishes everybody has. They may not be able to eat properly, but they'll have a satellite dish and a TV. And they'll watch this garbage programming that makes everyone think, if I just work hard, I can become prosperous and enjoy life. Well, we understand from Bhagavatam that prosperity doesn't come from hard work. Bhagavatam tells us, Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido, na labhyate yad brahmatam upareta, tal labhyate dukkha vadanyata sukham kalena sarvatra gabhira ranasa. That if an intelligent person, kovid, doesn't search for happiness anywhere in the material world, he knows that his happiness comes ordained, predestined by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the moment of conception. Bhagavatam says, karmena, karma, what's that? Kamana daivana trena, janta dehupapateya, stri pradishtu udaran, pungsa reta kanashraya. From the moment of conception, our whole life is planned out for us. What kind of prosperity you'll get, what kind of poverty you'll get, what kind of disease, what kind of health, what kind of happiness, what kind of distress, where you're going to marry, what kids are going to come to you. Everything's mapped out for us. That doesn't mean that we have no free will. Free will and destiny must exist side by side. Isn't it? And they both have to be true. If there's no free will, what's the question of bhakti? I'll become Krishna conscious when Lord wants me to become Krishna conscious. This is a foolish idea. We have free will, but minute free will. And destiny is there also. How is there not destiny? Otherwise you just, okay, I desire to win the lottery and become Kropati. Can you just do it? You have to buy a ticket. But can you just desire it? Can you just will it? Do we have absolute free will? We're also controlled. We have our destiny. Both things exist side by side. His Holiness Sri Dayananda Maharaj gave a nice example. He said that you get on an airplane, say you're flying from Delhi to Mumbai. Provided the plane doesn't fall out of the sky. You're on the plane, it's going to Mumbai, you've purchased a ticket, you have your seat. So you're going to Mumbai, this is destiny. But within the context of destiny, there's also free will. You can look out the window, you can read Bhagavad Gita, you can eat something, you can talk to your friend, you can take a nap. Within the context of destiny, we have free will, minute free will. Both of them must exist side by side. But this verse tells us from Bhagavatam, Tasaivahito prayateti kovido. An intelligent person endeavors for something more than material prosperity. But the whole world is chasing material prosperity as if it was the goal of life. It's not the goal of life. And they destroy actual human values. You can't eat your tata. You can't eat your computer. You can't eat your cell phone. The necessities of life, artha, are food to eat, water to drink, clean air to breathe, clothes, friendship, shelter, worship of the Lord. These are the actual artha, the values of human form of life. But materialistic society would have us believe that the real value is to go out and work hard, make lots of money, and enjoy your senses. Bhagavad tells us that this is the demoniac way of life. The dead-end way of life. Nunam pramatak kurute bikarma yadindriya pritaya apranoti nasada manyayata atmanuya asannapi kleshada asadeha. This way of life, the materialistic way of life, chasing your senses is kleshada. It will give us unhappiness. The only happiness that is available, particularly in this age, is in Krishna consciousness. It's an irreducible fact of life. There is no other happiness. There's sensual happiness, but what is that? It's a very, very temporary thing. See, if you like to eat samosa, and you start thinking, yeah, jayato vishayan pungsa sangasteshu prajayate, you start thinking, samosa, I must have samosa. So you go out and you buy some samosa, or your wife makes, or some devotee makes for you, and you eat samosa. The first one, you think you're in heaven. Oh, so delicious. The second one's still good. Third one, you're starting to get full. And four, no question. But when you're done eating, what do you have to show for it? It's just a memory. The pleasure you enjoyed tasting good food exists only as a memory. And it gives us kleshada. It gives us trouble. It gives us distress. Because then you have to digest also. So there's a higher happiness. And this is what Bhagavatam is pointing us to. There's a higher happiness that's not based on sense gratification. There's a higher happiness based on our relationship with the Lord. And that is the objective of this Krishna consciousness movement, to give Krishna consciousness. America is full of people that want to take. And there's nothing wrong with material prosperity. The illusion is that I'm creating it by my hard work. One time I was sitting in one gully in Vrindavan. We were doing some business, buying some agarbatti for the temple. I was watching one young lady. She was maybe 15 or 20 years old, and she was carrying a huge stack of bricks about this high, up the stairs, depositing them, coming back down, upstairs, downstairs like this. For the whole time, I would have died. Such a huge weight she's carrying, and she's making, what, maybe 100 rupees a day? She's working so hard. Now another person may be sitting in his desk with his feet up on the desk, making a few phone calls, buy this, sell that, do this, do that, and he's making lakhs and crores of rupees by hardly working at all, just a couple of phone calls. So is it by hard work that we become prosperous? And everybody is advocating, work hard. This is religious, to go out and work hard. We should work hard, but for what? We should work hard to achieve the ultimate goal of life, which is Krishna consciousness. And it was this that Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, has instilled throughout the entire world. From the moment his lotus feet touched, from the moment his lotus feet touched the shore of Boston Harbor, the entire world changed. Nobody knew what is Krishna consciousness. If there was such a thing as Google back then, what would it turn up? Some obscure reference to some quote-unquote Indian god? Was there any temple? There was no temple. Were there any devotees? There were no devotees outside of India. Was there any English translation of our Shastra available? In English and Swahili and Chinese and Japanese and Arabic? In every language of the world, was that there? It wasn't there. Was there any farm community? Was there any cow protection? Was there any mandir? Was there any deity worship? None of these things existed until Srila Prabhupada's feet touched the dirt of Boston Harbor. Prabhupada changed the world. And he did it by giving. And this is our Krishna consciousness movement, to give. We're not takers. We don't come to the mandir and pray to God, do something for me. To paraphrase the words of one former U.S. president that incidentally was shot dead by a sniper. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? So when we come to the mandir, we come before the Lord, don't ask for some petty thing. Ask to be empowered to spread Krishna consciousness, because the devotees sitting here in front of me, all of you, are the future of ISKCON. Each and every one of you have a part to play in this society. Because in a few short years, all of Prabhupada's disciples are gone. Every one of us. This is a fact of life. Every one of us is gone. And on whose shoulders does this society rest? Now you may be thinking, how is that possible? I'm a grihastha. I've got kids to take care of. I've got a job. I've got responsibilities. I have hardly time to chant my japa. How is it possible? It's possible by the inconceivable mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the easiest thing becomes difficult if you forget Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the most difficult thing becomes easy if you remember him. So sitting in front of me are the future preachers of the society. Some of you will take sannyas and travel all over the world. Some of you will make disciples. Some of you will publish books and build temples after we're all gone, because the future of ISKCON society rests on your shoulders. This is a fact. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Priti viti yacha jata nagaradi gram sarvata prachur hoibi moranam. Then it will go to every town and village in the planet. So when we come and we announce to Shishi Radha Radhika Naman, and we've distributed 2,000 Bhagavad Gitas, Prabhupada is dancing in joy. But don't forget, there's 7 billion other people that haven't gotten one yet. 7 billion. There's 1 billion people just in China that don't know about Krishna. How much work is there to do still? I mean, I come here, I see this beautiful... I thought we drove in from this side, and I thought that Prabhupada Bhavan was the temple. I thought, oh, that's nice. But then I saw this. Wow, beautiful temple, so nice. Then I walk in, another Vaikuntha outpost created by Srila Prabhupada and his followers. So in this verse, we learn that how to become a pure devotee. We become a pure devotee by following pure devotees. Mahajano yena katasya panta. This is the prayer of devotees. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite par, tomara shakati yachi. Amito kanga, Krishna Krishna boli, daita bapache pache. So the Krishna is yours. Because Krishna becomes the property of his pure devotee. He becomes the plaything of his pure devotee. You can wrestle with Krishna and win. You can steal from Krishna. Or the Associates of the Lord are teasing him even. Say, Krishna, we have a nice sweet for you. Close your eyes, open your mouth, and we'll give you a nice sweet. So Krishna closes his eyes, opens his mouth, and put one flower in Krishna's mouth. Just to tease him. Who can conceive of this, that the all-powerful, supreme personality of Godhead, yasyaika nishvasita kala matavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagarandanata Vishnu mahansa iha yasya kala vishesho govindam adi purusham tamaham ajani aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam bhavajati iti matva bhajanti mam buddha bhava samanvita matak parataram nanyat kinchirasti dananjaya mahi sarvamidam prota sutra manigana. This person, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Controller, Prakriti Kriyamana Nigunekam, everything's happening from everything, comes from him, not a blade of grass moves in the wind without him, and he's subordinating himself to his pure devotee. He's being tied up by Mother Yashoda. What more? Satyavati Muni prays like this, that the cheeks of your blackish lotus face are encircled by locks of curling hair, which have become reddened by the kisses of Mother Yashoda. What more can I describe this? What more do I want in this to remember how affectionate, how causelessly merciful, how unconditionally loving is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna? This is Krishna. And the responsibility to distribute this knowledge rests with all of us. As long as we're here, it rests with all of us, and we become pure devotees by following pure devotees. We can't get Krishna any other way. He's not available in any other way. He's available by causeless mercy. Atapi te deva padambujam dvaya prasada lesha nibrihita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko pichiram vichindam. By prasada lesha, by a fragment of mercy, he's available. Not by jnana, not by karma, certainly, not by yoga. He's not yogi vatsal, karmi vatsal, jnani vatsal. He's bhakta vatsal. This word vatsal is very interesting. The Krishna's affection for his devotee is just like a cow's affection for its calf. One of the devotees in the farm community where I stay has some cows. So lo and behold, one day, one of the cows gave birth to a beautiful baby black calf. And baby, these calves are very amazing because within a few days they're just up and running around. I mean, human beings are helpless for a couple of years before they can even walk. So everyone came down, so we garlanded the calf and we put a tilak on the mother cow and fed the mother cow and like this. It was a blissful festival. So the cow was on one side of the fence and the baby calf was on the other side of the fence. And this little dog came up. About this big, a little, this little harmless little dog. And it went up to sniff the calf. But when the mother cow saw the dog approach her calf, she almost broke the fence down to protect her calf. This is Krishna's affection for his bhakta, bhakta vatsala. How much affection, how much care, how much love Krishna has for his devotee. He doesn't have that for the yogis, the karmis, the jnanis. He has that for the bhaktas. And how do we get that? We get that feeling for Krishna. We reestablish that feeling for Krishna by serving his devotees, by following in the footsteps of his devotees. If we want Krishna, then he gives his own formula. Tadvidhi pranipatina pariprasnena sevaya upidakshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatura. If you want to be tattva-darshi, if you want to see the Lord, not by analogy, but eye to eye and face to face, if you want to see the Lord, if you want to become tattva-darshi, this is Lord's formula. This is his prescription. We can't change the prescription. If you go to the doctor and he gives you a prescription to heal your disease, to cure your disease, can you manipulate it according to your whimsy? Well, he said, take this medicine three times a day, once three times a day. Now, I'll take three once a day. You can't change it. So Krishna's prescription to receive his mercy is this. Pranipat. Prakriti Rupena Nipat, Prakrishna Rupena Nipat, that completely surrender. Don't withhold anything. We sing this song, Shri Guru Charane Ratiye Se Uttamagati. This is our highest aspiration in life, to have complete unmotivated surrender at the lotus feet of Guru. And for all of you, that means to your Diksha Guru, and it means to Srila Prabhupada. Don't think that your Guru is less. There'll never be another Prabhupada. Sometimes devotees make this mistake and they compare my Guru to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada came from Goloka, directly on the order of Lord Krishna, to come to this world and distribute books and print, translate and distribute books all over the world. This is his service. He's Nitya Siddha devotee, is mentioned here, the difference between Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha. And the ultimate issue, they're all the same. And many of the staunch servitors of Srila Prabhupada, from whom you've taken Diksha, are eternal associates of Srila Prabhupada. Wherever Prabhupada is going to spread Krishna consciousness, they're also going. So don't think that your Guru is less, because there is an undercurrent of envious, misguided, ill-informed, ignorant people who think that oh, you have to be as good as Prabhupada before you can take and guide disciples. This is a misunderstanding. A very nasty, devious misunderstanding. The light bulb gives light. Why? Because it's plugged into the socket. It's not the electric company. It's not the electric generator, but because it's plugged into the socket, it gives light. And if a devotee, Srila Prabhupada mentions this in a letter to Janardhan, way back in 1968. He said, typically, guru means those persons who are Nitya Siddha devotees. He mentioned Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He mentioned Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. But he said, a strict follower of these persons is as good as a Nitya Siddha devotee. There should be no misunderstanding. So if we follow devotee who's following, we also become qualified to get Krishna's mercy. We also get qualified to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And this is our family business. It's what we do. Srila Prabhupada and sons, grandsons, daughters and granddaughters. It's our family business to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. In Bengal, they have one saying, I don't speak Bengali much, they have one saying that if you send it denki to heaven, a rice threshing machine, denki, if you send it to heaven, what will it do? It will thresh rice. So a devotee, even in hell, a follower of Srila Prabhupada, even in heaven or in hell, does the same thing. Tries his utmost according to his own individual capacity to spread Krishna consciousness. So all of you are doing such wonderful service at this time of year by this Bhagavad Gita marathon. What's your quota for Bhagavad Gita this for the year? 1.75. Last time I heard it was 1.5. Now it's 1.75. Haribo! Very nice. Srila Prabhupada is so pleased, you can't imagine. You can't imagine how pleasing this is. Because Prabhupada said, book distribution is my life and soul. He said, it's the heart of, it's my BBT is my heart. So we go out and we give these books, we're giving Krishna. They're not different. Bhagavatam says about itself, idam hi bhagavatam nama. Purana Brahma Samitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Vishi Nishraya Saya Lokasya Dhanyam Swasti Namahat. If you want to benefit society, give Krishna. And this Bhagavatam is directly Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that with correct vision, you will see Krishna within the pages of this Srimad Bhagavatam. It's Brahma Samitam. It's complete spiritual, unadulterated spiritual substance. So when you give Bhagavatam, when you give Bhagavad Gita, you're giving Krishna. And this is our family business, to give Krishna. This isn't a taking society. We're giving prasadam, we're giving knowledge, we're building temples where people can come for darshan, we're giving books, we're giving Krishna. And Krishna is reciprocating like I can't imagine. India is on fire. All these huge, beautiful marble temples coming up all over India, full of blissful devotees dancing and singing Krishna's name. It's the most amazing thing. Most amazing thing. And the same thing's happening in China, in Africa, in Australia. Usually we tend to look like this, with like they put blinders on a horse. We see this much. But the actual fact is 360 degrees. I was on the internet the other day, and I saw one clip. I think maybe one of His Holiness Kavi Chandra Maharaj's disciples posted it. But they're devotees from Africa. Black as coal African devotees with big white tilak. 30 devotees with mridanga and kartal and harmonium. Dancing and chanting in ecstasy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. This is going on all over the world. Don't doubt it. I'll tell you another story. Way back in 1982, I was in Mayapur. This is a story about a story. His Holiness Indrajumna Maharaj had just come back from preaching in South America. The wife of the governor of the state that this huge Amazon River goes through became very favorable for Krishna consciousness. And she provided one huge boat. They filled it with dal, with atta, with masalas, everything required for cooking. And they went way up the Amazon. And as they stop, they cook, they prepare prasadam, they go ashore, and they go into the villages and distribute prasadam and teach people to chant Hare Krishna. So they went way, way up until they ran out of bhoga. Then on the way down, Maharaj was thinking, does someone have some tape player? Is there some tape player going on? Said, no, Maharaj. What does that sound? And they looked on the bank of the river, and the villagers were on the bank chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Just from the contact, completely remote, like Adivasi people. And they're on the bank chanting Hare Krishna. This chanting of Krishna consciousness, because it's the will of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, it's the will of the Lord himself, directly, is going everywhere all over the world. And we get to take part. This is the most amazing thing. We get to take part, the devotees that are sitting here, each and every one of you. So we shouldn't take the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us in a casual way. We shouldn't be lazy. We should take it very, very seriously. Whoever you are, whatever your ashram is, whatever your age is, whatever your circumstances, we should be very enthusiastic to become what Prabhupada wants us to be. Carriers of the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said this. He said, we're not shilpis, we're not artisans. If we get some money, then we build temples. If someone feels inspired by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, then we build temples. This is wonderful. But our main business is to carry the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to every town and village of the world. And this is the legacy that Srila Prabhupada has left to each and every one of you. Don't drop the ball. That's what I say in America. It's a football expression. Not soccer. They, you know, it's these big, strong people smash. This is a typical American game. Big, huge, strong people just smash into each other. Not much skill, just smash into each other and try and get the ball from grown men. Get the ball from here to there. And it's a multi-million, multi-billion dollar industry. But they have a saying, don't drop the ball. So someone's throwing you a pass, and you can catch it and score and be successful and win the game, they say, don't drop the ball. So Srila Prabhupada has given us everything. He's given us prestige. He's given us knowledge. He's given us opulence. I see you're building another project here, ISKCON Rohini. Amazing thing. Amazing thing. He's given us everything, so don't drop the ball. And that means be strict in your life. Don't cheat. Chant japa attentively. Be enthusiastic. Utsaha nischayat dharyat tattat karma pravartana. And sato vrite, sadhu sange and sato vrite, follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. This is what's being spoken here in this verse. How you want to become a pure devotee? Do what Prabhupada did. He didn't do anything extraordinary from one point of view. He did what his spiritual master did. He chanted Harinam and he taught other people to do the same thing. And that's what all what we have to do. That's all he's asking us to do. We preach Krishna consciousness, but be a qualified receptacle for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Be strict in your life. Don't be lazy. Don't be casual. Be utsahan, enthusiastic, dharya, patient. Be determined. And Krishna consciousness will spread all over the world. It's like Krishna told Arjuna, Nimitamatam Baba Savyasachin, that you're Savyasachi, you're an expert in what you do. So you do it for me, or you're going to do it in some other way. So we have the opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world by this book distribution, by prasadam distribution, by harinam, by building temples, by home programs, by having kids. I've seen they're extraordinary children that are coming to this movement also. And a grihastha family may think, such a burden, the kid's crying, he can't sleep at night, he has to go to school, daddy can't have money for this, education, so much burden. But extraordinary children are also coming to this movement and do the same thing if you teach them. Yadidacharati shristastatareva tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastat anuvarta. If we just do what Srila Prabhupada asks us to do, people will follow. Your own children will follow. And the masses of people will follow if we set the example. Prabhupada gave us everything. Prestige, money, temples, knowledge, everything. We can't drop the ball. Keep doing what he asks us to do, distribute his books. Try and get 200,000, no, two, what is it, two, 2 lakhs, 200,000. In just this month you're trying for. Amazing. And Radha Partisarati Mandir is doing how many? Around 4 lakhs. That's amazing. It's amazing service. But we should also think, how many people are not getting Bhagavad Gita? So we should take time to also study. Prabhupada emphasized this. Don't just distribute Bhagavad Gita, but learn Bhagavad Gita. You were giving class last night? This Prabhu here is such a nice speaker, Bhagavad Gita. Shloka after shloka. These are astras. These shlokas are astras, they're weapons to fight Maya. Because there's no philosophical tradition, no religious tradition like this tradition. Nothing compares. Not Christianity, not Islam, not Sikh Dharma, not Judaism, none of these people. Because if you ask them, who is God? Oh, he's Uparwala. He's up there somewhere. But what is he doing? What does he do up there? What does he eat? What does he wear? Who are his friends? Does he have a house? Or is he a homeless guy? You know, is he some urchin living on the street? He has no place. We have a place to live and God has no place to live. We eat nice food. God has no nice food to eat. We have friends. God has no nice friends. What is he doing? And they have no answer. Only we have the answer here from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the Vedas. Because it's the topmost knowledge. Bhagavatam says, Krishna swadabho pagate dharma jnana divisaha kalo nashtarishamesha puranako dunonita. That this Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun and has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna for his own abode, accompanied by knowledge, religion, etc. Men in this dark age of Kali will get light from this Purana. They won't get it from Bible, not from Quran, not from Guru Granth Sahib, nowhere else. From Bhagavatam. So we have to create their good fortune by distributing these books. This was Prabhupada's wish. This was his heartfelt desire. He said, my heart and my soul was his book distribution. So we should try and do this to the best of our ability. Please, Srila Prabhupada, follow in his footsteps and get mercy like Srila Prabhupada also received mercy from his spiritual master. He said that this, he took the instruction of his spiritual master, this verse in Bhagavad Gita, Vyabhasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kuru Nandana. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that one should take the order of a spiritual master as his life and soul. Srila Prabhupada, he was just getting up from offering pranam the first time he met Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He wasn't even off the floor yet. Bhakti Sananda said, "You're an educated young man. Please teach this science of Krishna consciousness, this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world." At that moment, Prabhupada took that as his life and soul and accepted him in his heart as his spiritual master. We should do the same thing and make this movement successful by being enthusiastic to learn these books, to distribute these books, to dive deeply into the nectarian ocean of Harikatha that's available in these books. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If anyone has any questions, I can try to answer. Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for a very inspiring and very enthusiastic lecture. I have multiple questions. So first question is, like you said a very wonderful statement, that we should not think that present day followers of Prabhupada or the future followers of Prabhupada will be less potent, less powerful than Prabhupada. We should not think like that. And in the present day society, we see in the ISKCON that we observe in certain areas certain dilutions from the principle of Prabhupada. So in that, how to understand this, because with the passage of time, I mean, we are also apprehensive that in the future also the further dilution may be there. So how to ensure it and how to understand that the present and the future followers will be as powerful as Prabhupada?
First thing, we should understand that every great movement has its detractors. They tried to kill Krishna, or to speak of ISKCON. Isn't it? Even Krishna had his enemies. So we also see enemies of ISKCON. But we should understand historically and philosophically what the situation is. That Prabhupada trained his disciples to preach Krishna consciousness and to initiate disciples. He didn't train us just to pour ghee on fire and give a name. Just like parents. Parents make some resolution, we want to have a child. So many things are required. Child comes, and after the child comes, say, okay, now you're on your own. We did our part. Now you're born, now you're on your own. Figure it out. Is this what disciple's relationship is with the person who gives him name and does sacrifice? If someone has accepted a disciple, it's lifelong, not lifelong, but eternal relationship. We say, Chakudhan Diloje Janme Janme Prabhu Se. Does that mean just for Prabhupada? It does not. We're singing Narottam Das Thakur's song for Lokanath Das Goswami. But we're singing to worship Srila Prabhupada because it's a universally applicable principle. That Chakudhan, that person who's opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge, is my Lord, birth after birth. We're personalists. We have an eternal personal relationship with our Guru and with Srila Prabhupada. We shouldn't think, Krishna's going out to the cowherd fields and I'd really like to go and play with Krishna and I don't know, maybe there's not room for me. There's 10 million gopis that go, just sakis, go with Krishna. 900,000 cows go out to the passing fields with Krishna. And God knows how many gopas go. Hundreds of thousands, millions. We don't understand, we forget who we're dealing with, whose name we're chanting, what is the power, the potency, the expansive nature of God, of Krishna. There's unlimited numbers of devotees. Lakshmi sahasra sata sambramasi bhyamanam govindamadi purusham tam. There's millions of them. And we all have a relationship through our Guru. No one approaches Krishna directly except Srimati Radhika. Everyone has a relationship with Krishna through Krishna's representative. Even when gopis make paan for Krishna, they fill it with this, all the different ingredients they put in. Then they give to the gopas and they give to Krishna. Or they make nice flower garland for Krishna and gopas garland Krishna. There's full cooperation. One devotee serving another. As it exists here, it exists there. As it exists there, it exists here. So, Chakudhan Dila Janme Janme, he's our Prabhu. Guru isn't like a ladder. This is the Mayavad conception. If you want to cross a wall, you put up a ladder, and when you get to the other side, I'm done with the ladder, and you kick it away. This isn't our relationship with Guru. It's eternal. Janme janme Prabhu. He's our Prabhu, birth after birth. And that's not just for Prabhupada. It's for that person who extended himself, who sacrificed himself, who puts his life on the line by accepting us as disciples. This is the system for millennia, because history is also an evidence, it's also praman. What has been done for thousands of years? This is history, this is evidence. If it's in America, we say, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Do you understand? If something's not broken, don't try and fix it. So this system, evam parampara praptam imam raja shiva vidu, this is Krishna's solution to yoga nashta parantapa. That over time, things become deteriorated. So Krishna's system, his prescription, his solution to the problem, evam parampara praptam. Parampara means one after another. It doesn't mean just to accept someone officially, okay, I'm done with you, now I'm Prabhupada's disciple. We are Prabhupada's disciple. Everyone has everyone read His Holiness Bhaktichuru Maharaj's article on this? If you haven't read it, you need to read this. I don't know if it's been translated in India. But it's a very important document where he explains in about 60 or 80 pages how important it is to accept Prabhupada as our Siksha Guru. He is our Siksha Guru, and we should identify ourselves as his disciples. Prabhupada says in the first chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, first chapter means Guru Tattva. He says that Siksha and Diksha are equal and identical manifestations of Krishna. Guru comes to us as Diksha Guru, and he comes as Siksha Guru. So we're all Siksha disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And that way, from one point of view, we're all God brothers and God sisters. Not in the way that a particular class of individual misconstrues this idea. We're all gathered at Prabhupada's lotus feet. We're all worshipping Prabhupada. This is his ISKCON. To be a disciple of Prabhupada by Siksha. But Siksha is not sufficient. We don't take initiation from a book. We take initiation from a person. One small anecdote condenses the whole issue. My godbrother, Achyutananda Prabhu, was sitting with Srila Prabhupada one time. Srila Prabhupada reached over and took his ear and went like this. He said, a book cannot do this. We can't be corrected by a book. We can't get personal instruction from a book. We can get passive mercy. We associate with Krishna by these books because they're Krishna. Not different from Krishna. But we don't get personal instruction from the book. We have to get that from a person, eye to eye and face to face. Not from someone who's long gone back with Krishna to the kingdom of God. These are important things to understand, and we should understand them deeply because there is a challenge. And we have every resource to meet that challenge, and it's called common sense. A book can't do this. And also, Prabhupada gave so many quotes in this regard also. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji explained very nicely. But I have one question about this jigyasu. And Prabhupada gives the example Nitya Siddha and the Sadhana Siddha. The person, those who are comes here to establish the principle of the bhaktis, they are the Nitya Siddha person, like Prahlad Maharaj. But sometimes in ISKCON we have the controversy that we are coming from the Vaikuntha. So what is the conclusion that those who comes here from Vaikuntha, they are the Nitya Siddha Parsad, and their nature is to establish the bhakti, and those who are not practicing bhakti, then how we can identify they are also the Nitya Siddha or they are coming from Vaikuntha?
This is another issue devotees like to argue about. We like to argue about women's issue, Vaikuntha issue, guru issue. See, what are the other issues? Oh, the book issue. Change the book issue. And devotees become so polarized that they can't appreciate the other person's point of view. Personally, with this issue, the fall issue, I accept exactly what Prabhupada said. Don't worry about it. Because I was just reading in the... Ujjvala Nilamani Kiran, commentary Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He explained that there are associates of the Lord who are new associates, who are coming back, and they're associates that are always there. We worship Guru, He Guru, Gyanada, Dina Bandhu, Swananda, Thakura, Naika Sindhu, Vrindavana, Sina, Hitavatara, Prasida, Radha, Pranepracha. That some are coming. Otherwise, why is this mantra? Vrindavana, Sina, Hitavatara. They've come to this world to distribute Krishna consciousness. But the devotees are doing the same thing. The principle is the same. Prabhupada gave an example. This crow and tall fruit. That the crow lands in the branch, the tall fruit drops, and the crow flies away. So is it that the tall fruit dropping scared the crow, or the tall fruit dropping, sitting in the branch, made the tall fruit drop? And devotees argue back and forth. No, it's not. Sometimes you see on the internet, devotees cursing each other, name-calling, criticizing, you fool, you rascal, you're stupid, you're this. What for? We have enough trouble in our life without making Vaishnava Puran to argue about something that is, in the ultimate issue, irrelevant, because we're here. Another example Srila Prabhupada gave was that if your house is on fire, you sit down and think, well, did it start in the kitchen? Did it start in the living room? Maybe it started on the balcony. You put out the fire. So devotees went to argue about these things. To what end? Just to fight? Especially, he said about his Western disciples, he says, politics are their veins and fighting is their blood. Just to fight and argue for what? To what end? Because the next day you're going to have to get up, you're going to have to brush your teeth, shave your face, take a shower, and do your japa, and go about your day, do your seva. And the ultimate issue, what does it matter for you? Because we're here and we have to go there. So do that first and worry about that first. Instead of spending all your time on the internet writing acerbic, acidic, offensive articles towards each other. And just quoting, you know, it's probably, frankly, Prabhupada said both things in his purports. If you study the issue, Prabhupada said both. So why argue about it? What did you get? What do you gain? So if you want to be jigyasu, if we're actually jigyasu, then we become utsahan, nishchayat, daryat. We become enthusiastic, determined, and we follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. We do all those things mentioned. Satavrate, sadhu sange, we do these things and make some progress in our life. And don't burden your mind. Life is burdensome enough without burdening our mind with all these other things. Does that make sense? At least enough sense to please you? Hridaya Granthi means a knot in the heart. This is Bhagavatam. Atak griha shetu sutapta vitta janasya moham huyam aham mameti. This pungsastriya mitani bhavametam. That Hridaya Granthi mahu. That by the whole world is going on by this. Even in the insects. I live out in the country, so I was working in the backyard. I don't always wear dhoti. If I'm cutting wood, I don't wear dhoti. Of course, Western disciples we're in a strange position. In America, people look at us and they go, why are you dressed like an Indian? And we come to America, and we come to India, why are you dressed like an Indian? Right? Don't live, don't die. So anyway, I was in the backyard working, and there's some insects, making baby insects. This is the business of worms and insects also. And in this society, they glorify this pungsastriya mitinibhava, as it's the highest thing. The insects, the worms are doing this. But you see it plastered all over the billboards, you see it on the internet, you see it on the radio, the TV, the newspaper, the magazine. It's glorified as it's the highest achievement of human society. Mithani Bhava. What is it? It's Riddhya Grantham. It bind you. Atak Griha Shetu Sitapta Vittaya Janasya Mohoyam Ahamami. It simply increases life's illusion. So we want to break that. Achindanti Kovidas Tasya Kona Kuryat Kataratim. We break that knot with Bhagavatam. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and living Bhagavatam. We break that knot. Then you live peaceful. Wherever you go, you're peaceful. Aloof. Because we have to come to a stage in our life where we feel, instead of thinking, I really want to do that, but I know I shouldn't. We have to come to a stage where I'm not interested anymore. I'm just not interested. Why? Param dishtani vartate. We get some higher taste, we get some realization on what's actual happiness, some experience. And everything else is pale, uninteresting, stale in comparison. So this is also jigyasu, jigyasu shreya uttamam. This is our shreya path of life. Srila Prabhupada would quote, pravita esha bhutanam nivritischa nivritischa mahaphalam. The greatest benefit is nivritti mark, not pravritti mark. Pravritti mark will drag you to hell. At least drag you back to another body. Yes, kanduvanena, this. Position. We have to itch for Krishna. We have to itch, like when is that guy going to stop speaking so I can put some books in my book bag and I can go out on the street and distribute Bhagavad Gita. We should be eager, utsahan, eager for Krishna, then we won't be eager for sense gratification. Eager for Hridaya Granthi, India, all these things. Also, that's an excellent point. That's a very important understanding. Thank you. We should have, and when we feel some attachment for our Guru Maharaj, that how can I help him? How can I serve him? Then there's no time for Maya. We should be so busy in Krishna's service that there's no time for Maya. Anything else, Prabhuji? Anyone else? Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandaya.